Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Tuesday, July 5th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV.
We'd like to thank everybody who emailed us with feedback on yesterday's 4th of July tribute show. We really appreciate hearing from you, and I guess what we had to say rang true for a lot of you. We'd also like to thank Sam and Trish Britton of theinformationcorner.com. We're going to be appearing on their show, The Information Corner, on Saturday. We'll have that information on our webpage today or tomorrow. And also, we'd like to thank everybody at State College's 4th Fest, the celebration that we went to yesterday. It was magnificent. 10,000 volunteer man hours went into putting that show on. The fireworks display was phenomenal. And from what I understand, the last 20 minutes, the finale, I guess, of that event with the fireworks, they used more fireworks than they do in Washington on July 4th. So it was outstanding.
Yeah, this is called the fourth largest fireworks display in the country and the largest in the world that's all volunteer. For this grand finale that Lisa mentioned, they were shooting 44 fireworks or 44 cannons per second. It was just like the whole sky was this huge video screen. It was just full. It was like sensory
spectacular
overload. Plus, we saw a whole bunch of bands down there. Probably, I'll bet you 30,000 people showed up.
Yeah, we saw four bands plus the symphony orchestra there, and it was fantastic. Tens of thousands of people, I think.
Yeah, it was great. So we hope everyone else's 4th was as great as ours. And just remember, independence is the key to the 4th of July. So we also have good news about the D.C. Truth Convergence, which is going to be held on July 22nd through 24th of this month. It's going to be in Washington, D.C. And we're going to make it down for the 23rd. That's a Saturday. And what you're going to do is have a huge rally in Lafayette Park across from the White House. Some of the participants are going to be David Ray Griffin, Michael Badnarik, who's a libertarian candidate, Ray McGovern, Charles Key from the Oklahoma City Bombing Investigative Committee, and plenty
others. We're going to be there for the rally, correct?
Correct, that's right.
I guess they're going to have some seminars or workshops the next day, but we're not staying for those.
Yeah, and also, for all the information, go to the article on the Wing TV homepage, and we're going to post that permanently until the event happens, so hopefully everyone can make it down there.
Yeah.
Now, let's get on to the news. We have a ton of stuff to cover today, Lisa. One of the biggest events coming up is this G8 conference in Europe. And
there's a lot of controversy about that.
Exactly. There's a lot of protests, first of all. And don't get sucked in to their propaganda. One of the biggest things is they say they're going to forgive the debt to these third world countries. What I say to that is, so what?
Well, if you're reading anything that has been put out by interviews with African people themselves, they don't see it as any big deal. No. It's not going to help the average African person.
Yeah, that's a good point because the there's coffee farmers down there in Kenya that are making $300 a year. Now, these big wigs in Washington, D.C. are probably spending $300 a month just at Starbucks to get their coffee. And when they say they're going to forgive the debt, you know what it's doing? It's just wiping one blip off the computer screen and then replacing it with another one.
Right. We read an interview that had been done with an African coffee farmer, and he says that all that money is going to do is make the coffers richer of government officials there.
That's right.
And it's not going to help the average African. They want improvements in basic services, and they want an end to corruption. Hello, we want that too.
Yeah. So what they're going to do is they're going to stride in there and say, we've forgiven your debt.
Yeah.
But what you still have is these exploitative multinational corporations and the bankers and the politicians that are going to continue to keep reaping all the money off of these people while they continue to live in poverty. So don't fall for this smoke screen because that's all that it is.
Yeah, and really find out where this aid is going to. Is it going to the everyday person or is it just going to some politician over in Africa?
Yeah. Now, the second thing that's going to be brought up here, and this is interesting, Lisa, because we have a rift now. We see Tony Blair and the European Union, even Arnold Schwarzenegger, coming out in favor or supporting global warming while still the Bush administration is opposed to it.
Yeah.
So, here we have Arnold again kind of playing the wild card. And lastly, the other element that's going to be discussed there is China.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, China is one of the big players on the world stage now. And they're wondering if they should let China in to this G8 meeting as a permanent member. The problem is that all the current members are, quote-unquote, open market democracy.
And China's not.
Right. And China is a closed market communist government.
But they're saying that it's becoming more and more difficult to have these types of discussions and conferences without including China.
That's so true. So there's a big decision that has to be made, and it's going to be interesting to see which way they fall on that. Mm-hmm. But whatever the case, China, as we've said many times here on Wing TV, cannot be ignored.
Right.
Now, let's go over to Iran. Now, as you know, there's been a lot of talk about this new president-elect of Iran. Was he mm-hmm. one of the captors
Mahmoud.
Of the students?
Right.
Yeah. And here's what he came out and said. This is from actually a guy named Hamid Assefi, who's the foreign ministry correspondent. And he said, "We advise the Europeans not to fall into the trap of the Zionist media."
Right. He said that Israel and the United States are working together to smear this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's putting out a warning from the Iranian government not to fall for it, that it's all a Zionist scheme.
Now, isn't that funny that in this country, we'll never hear anything about the Zionist media scam, but coming out of Iran now, they talk about it as if it's an accepted second nature, as if it's mm-hmm. a proven fact, which, of course, it is. So, Hamid Assefi, we congratulate you on saying those words.
The taboo Z word.
Right. And since we're talking about the Middle East, mm-hmm. there's a lot of talk about Ariel Sharon. And I'm one of our favorites, right?
The war criminal.
Yeah.
What do you do now?
Ariel, the butcher Sharon. Well, as everyone knows, he wants to have this massive pullout from mm-hmm. the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. He wants to uproot 8,000 Israeli families. And there's so much strife in Israel that they said it could result in either a civil war or Ariel Sharon being assassinated. Even because he wants to do this. So, and he wouldn't be the first leader who's wanted to uproot or take property away from Israelis.
That would be a loss for the world, wouldn't it?
Yeah, one less war criminal in the world. Now, this is something that should ring true to you, Lisa. George Bush, yesterday on the 4th of July, gave a speech on another college campus.
Mm-hmm.
This is down
West Virginia?
Yeah, Morgantown, West Virginia, home of West Virginia University. I actually lived there when I was 2 or 3 years old for a brief period. But
I have to say, this particular protest, the protesters were far removed.
Yeah.
They could only be heard faintly during Bush's speech. And I guess it was only open to ticket holders, about a couple thousand pro-Bush supporters and who would welcome his words. And you could hear it said in this article that the protesters of Bush were heard faintly during his speech.
Right. So this is par for the course with this administration. And probably Lisa's voice at the Penn State protest were probably heard louder.
I cut through his speech.
Because her speech could have been heard, or her protest could have been heard on the moon. So Lisa probably got closer to the president with her voice than these protesters down in West Virginia.
His ears were burning.
Yeah. Now, since we're speaking about the Bush administration,
yeah.
there's been more documents labeled as classified last year than any other year in history. A 10% increase, actually, in the classified documents.
And a decrease in the declassified.
Right.
A significant drop.
Yeah. So they said there's 15.6 million documents last year that were termed classified.
This goes to show you that the level that this administration will go to remain secretive and conceal information from the public has reached an all-time high.
That's exactly right. Now, this is one of the biggest topics of concern.
Mm.
Sandra Day O'Connor, last week, she said that she was going to retire from the bench, from the Supreme Court. And what we see now is this perfect Hegelian dialectic being played out in front of us. So what do the hardcore religious right people want from George Bush when he nominates
someone new? A very interesting little article, and I'll just read this little one to you. It says, "Christian conservatives insisted Friday that Bush nominate someone who'd vote to restrict or outlaw abortion. They noted that they voted for him in large numbers in 2004, the so-called values election, and want their due. It's time to make good on those campaign promises," the president of the anti-abortion group Operation Rescue said.
That's Troy Newman.
Yeah, he said, "You've been given a mandate to end abortion in our nation by the American people who cast their votes for you. You have been placed in power for such a time as this. Now it is time to fulfill your obligation to God and to those who elected you and appoint a staunchly pro-life judge to the Supreme Court." And I'm not going to hold my breath to see that happen.
Right. Now, here's what's happening. George Bush, even though he declares himself to be anti-abortion, he's just like his father, and he's just like John Kerry, and he's just like all the other, or most of the other globalists. They're very much pro-abortion. So, we have on in this or this Republican Party, the GOP, you have the religious right, who, in their minds, say that they're the ones that put Bush into office in both terms. So what they're demanding, and that's what that quote is, at least read, it's a demand that he pick the next, not only this justice, but the two or three after that, as being anti-abortion, that they want to outlaw Roe v. Wade. So what's going to happen is the GOP is being described as a theocratic party.
Right.
That element of it is going to be a religious party. Now, of course, there's other people in the GOP, Arnold Schwarzenegger, John McCain, Rudolph Giuliani, that are more centrist or more, you know, to the middle.
They're weighing being pro-life, which is what they're supposed to be, which they promote themselves as, and then losing the support of women and the people who support abortion.
Right.
If they do what they say they're supposed to be doing, so they stand to lose like substantial numbers of voters.
Right.
Vote the way they promote themselves.
Yeah, what we have is a rift developing in the GOP, and that's why we have this, or described as a Hegelian dialectic, is that you have one part, the thesis, which is supposed to be anti-abortion, then the antithesis, which is pro-abortion, even though it says that it's not, and you develop this new synthesis where if we have a rift or a division in the GOP, you could have one very right-leaning candidate, then someone forming a new party or going third party, like John McCain, that'll split the Republican vote, and guess who slides in?
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton in 2008.
Satan.
So this is something that's very, very interesting, and George Bush said that he's going to name his nominee as soon as he gets back from a G8 summit. Mm-hmm. So keep your eyes open for that one, folks.
I just got something else that's very interesting from Voltaire Network. It's voltairenetwork.net, the daily newspaper of international analysis. They say that the Kenneth Tomlinson, the president of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, CPB, has created a blacklist of personalities that will not be invited to radio and TV programs again in the future. It's comprised of editorialists and politicians who oppose the Iraq war. Surprise there, huh? Like Senator Chuck Hagel.
Mm-hmm.
And this CPB distributes federal funding to local radio and TV stations. So now you see the predicament they're all in. They don't receive this funding if they have these people who oppose the war back on their shows.
Very interesting.
Google's not reporting this story either, by the way.
Very, very interesting. Now, another thing that we have to look at with this rift before we move on is that there's an element of the Republican Party that abhors George Bush's rampant overspending here. I mean, they've spent more than any other administration in the history of the world. And George Bush now, in his 5 years as president, has yet to veto one spending bill that's come across his desk. So more and more we see this rift, and you know,
why do they care? They'll just print more money, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, did you see this article, Lisa, about a journalist that worked for the Knight Ridder newspaper chain that was killed over in Iraq?
Yeah, he was a doctor that began working for Knight Ridder as a translator, and he made the unfortunate decision to drive down a street that wasn't roadblocked off, no signs of any kind that there was going to be any trouble there, and a U.S. sniper took him out.
Yeah, one shot through the windshield in his face. Now, there's been stories in the last few months about an Italian journalist that was killed, also other Iraqi journalists, but these didn't make a whole lot of waves. The Italian journalist did in Europe a little bit, but now we have one from the Knight Ridder newspaper.
Well, and the
chain.
Only reason that's even being delved into is because he worked for an American company, because the Pentagon doesn't keep records of civilians that are killed in these incidents, these skirmishes. And apparently there were three streets that were roadblocked off or had warning signs that they were being, you know, having trouble there. But this fourth street that this journalist went down wasn't marked or showed no signs of any trouble whatsoever. He was just picked off.
Right. And there wouldn't be any questions about this. This would have been swept underneath the rug, except that he does work for the American newspaper chain Knight Ridder. So we're going to see how
very
the military...
Important. Yeah, it's very important to realize a lot of civilians are being murdered in Iraq.
That's right.
And the Pentagon's not reporting this.
Yeah. Plus, they're not even reporting our own deaths, our own servicemen accurately. There's many reports now that instead of only 1,700 being dead, it's actually over 9,000.
Right. And let's remember, it's based on a pack of lies.
Yeah. Everything about this administration is a pack of lies. And if we do have over 9,000 deaths, that takes us almost to 20% of the amount as who was killed in Vietnam,
yeah,
which is a very, very troubling figure.
This now, is your president. You voted him in, not me.
Yeah, not me either. Now, Unocal, they're still in this quandary, mm-hmm, of what to do with their company. Chevron offered them $16.6 billion for their company. China's company, CNOCC, which is a state-owned, or
right,
at least 70%.
Government-owned.
Government-owned company, now counter-offered $18.5 billion. Unocal's weighing this is going to have to go to the Congress for approval,
mm-hmm,
and they're saying that this is now a threat actually to national security, because if China takes over one of the biggest oil companies in the world, what kind of position is that going to put us
right
in?
Plus Chevron, it's anticipated that they may beef up their bid to make it a juicier offer.
Yeah.
If they don't, then they may get sued. Unocal may get sued for not going with the highest bidder. So, I mean, and if papers aren't filed from the other company, then it looks like a hostile takeover. It
exactly
just sounds like a big old mess.
And plus, there's also statements that if the United States Congress shuts this down,
mm-hmm,
then other countries around the world are going to say, well, then how does that affect us? If you're not going to allow, if you call yourself to be a free market democracy, then you don't allow companies to be bought and sold,
yeah,
on a free market.
Sounds like the opposition to this is coming from the Congress. So maybe they actually do read some documents.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I mean, this is such a threat to our national,
mm-hmm,
security, because what if the United States and China went to war at some point in the,
mm-hmm,
future, and China owned one of our oil companies?
Well, what it's trying to do is build up its energy resources and hoard them.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Karl Rove, in the news again, this time,
yeah,
with the Valerie Plame CIA leak.
I guess he's the source, huh?
He's the source, and the Democrats are coming out and demanding that the White House answer for this.
And the White House response is, of course, refusing to be interviewed on the subject. They don't have to answer your questions.
Right. Now, this is very interesting because Scott McClellan,
mm-hmm,
who is the White House spokesman, he came out when the story first broke on September 29th of 2003, and he said that the leaker, if they ever found out who he is, should be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you think he's going to backpedal around this one?
George Bush never have a word come out of his mouth again if he doesn't have Karl Rove in,
yeah,
his ear.
Exactly. So that's what Scott McClellan, yeah, said when this story first surfaced.
I don't think he makes the decisions.
No, McClellan. I don't think so either.
Yeah.
But the next press conference, if someone brings this up to him, mm-hmm, how is he going to respond? We're waiting with bated breath on that one.
Also, on the fate of the two journalists from, I believe it was Times and New York Times,
mm-hmm,
and Newsweek, correct?
Time Magazine. I
Time
believe,
Magazine,
yeah,
and Newsweek?
Yeah.
See if they're going to end up going to jail this week or what?
That's right. Now, a couple last things before we leave today. Bill Clinton came out,
mm-hmm,
and said that he is pro-illegal immigration. Pro-illegal immigration. And
I'm pro-Bill immigrating to
yeah
Mexico.
Yeah, why doesn't he immigrate, mm-hmm, out? His reasoning is that since Social Security is in such trouble,
mm-hmm,
that if we allow all these illegal immigrants to come in, make them citizens, and put them on the tax dole, then we can suck more money out of them to make it go into Social Security. Well, as we all know, none of the money that we collect for Social Security actually goes into the fund.
Right.
What it does is a pay-as-you-go system. It pays off all the people that are owed their money, then whatever's left over goes into the war, goes into the black budgets, goes into everything else. So even his explanation,
right,
is like everything
else.
This
is what else we have to say to Bill. Shut up.
Yeah, everything else, just like this, is a lie.
Uh-huh.
Now, one last thing. This is kind of pop culture, but Tom Cruise, he's been in the news for like a month straight, it
he's
seems like.
He's been freaking out over this,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, Katie Holmes, anyone on Oprah, and he was jumping on the couch and so forth.
Midlife crisis.
Then there was the Brooke Shields brouhaha, where he, uh-huh, said she shouldn't be on antidepressants and for postpartum
first
depression.
Of all, why do we care what Tom Cruise,
yeah,
has to say?
Yeah, the big thing is, though, is he's pushing this Scientology,
yeah,
very hardcore. And there's reports now that his girlfriend, Katie Holmes, when they went to this screening of his new movie, War of the Worlds, actually, when she got up and went to the restroom, She couldn't go by herself. She had to be followed by like three of these Scientologists. So like she can never ever be alone anywhere.
How many Scientologists does it take to flush?
Yeah, and since we know that Michael Jackson's involved in all this weird stuff too, it seems like there's a lot of correlations now. And anyone that even delves into the Scientology at all knows this stuff is bad news.
Yes.
So, you know, Tom Cruise, let him be an actor and leave him at that. But once he starts pushing himself into religion or anything else,
starting to lose it.
Yeah, he's starting to go a little crazy. So that wraps it up for today. We had a lot to cover. There's so much going on in the world. And as Lisa said, we hope everyone's 4th of July was good. And we're glad that people appreciated this tribute that Lisa put together yesterday.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I really liked the most about the display we saw yesterday, they read the Declaration of Independence right before they started shooting the fireworks off and broadcast it out on the radio and everything around the campus and around the community. It was wonderful.
Yeah, they had these big speakers there, and they read the Declaration of Independence to remind everybody what we were really there for, and that was a nice touch. I'm glad you brought it up. So we'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Also, check out our articles on the Wing TV homepage. There's always good stuff there. If you can make it down to D.C. on July 23rd, you'll see us there in Lafayette Park. We're going to have a big banner, 9/11 World Trade Center, controlled demolition.
Right, and make sure you get out to Ground Zero on 9/11 for our next protest after that.
Right.
Show your strength in numbers.
Information isn't enough. It has to be followed by action. We'll see you tomorrow, folks, on Wing TV. Keep your eyes open. There's a lot going on.
See ya.